Hello and welcome to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm FPL Harry.
So Harry, we've still got the big match between Newcastle and Brighton coming up on Thursday evening to round off game week 36. So things still could completely turn around, some captaincy still in play. But most FPL managers will likely have multiple players left to play therefore. So Harry, how's game week 36 treated you so far?
Yeah, it's been okay. It's been a bit of sort of ups and downs. It started quite poorly because I was one of the managers that decided to go for Alexander Isak over Callum Wilson, which of course we did see a reasonable swing on Saturday morning. And I've spent the rest of the weekend sort of clawing it back. I am sort of sat on a small green arrow on 73 points overall, but I will get an extra 8 from Edison off my bench because luckily Kepa of Chelsea decided randomly out of nowhere to lose his place. And then Edison finally keeping a clean sheet. So I was quite happy with that.
You deserve those points. Edison owners deserve those points. They've been long awaited.
It's been a long, long few weeks. And then I decided to bench him the 1 week he was going to keep a clean sheet. But luckily, Kepa decided to miss out. So 73, but I've still got 6 to play, including Isak as my captain as well. So I feel like we're only halfway there. How about you?
Nice. Yeah, so I'm on 69 points so far. Although with Rashford not playing, I'm going to have Robertson coming off my bench for a 6-pointer. So what is that? That gets me up to 75 points. So pretty happy with that. Same as you, still got 6 to play. So I've got Mitoma, McAllister, Trippier, Botman, Isak, and then Sisco still to play. More on him a bit later on because he was my transfer in this week. But no captaincy. My captain played last night. I had Salah captain, so obviously pretty happy with the 3 assists, but no bonus points for Salah with 3 assists, which was kind of unusual. And I have to say, I know it whistled past the post, that chance he had at the end, and actually went down as a big chance missed in FPL. So had that gone the other side of the post and Salah had scored that goal, that would have been a swing for me of about 16, 17 points if you add in the bonus points as well. So I was devastated to see that one fly past the left-hand post. I would have loved for that one to go in from Mo, but nevertheless, still 12 points for the Egyptian King. So happy with that as my captaincy. 6 to play. But it's been I think actually my Liverpool players, if anything, have saved my game week a little bit. I had Trent, Robertson and Salah. So up to last night, my game week was looking decidedly dodgy. And then my Liverpool boys have pulled me out of the mire somewhat. But one of the reasons that you mentioned it, Harry, one of the reasons my game week wasn't looking quite so good as some others that I've seen on Twitter and in the FPL community was that Wilson versus Isak decision. I mean, we'll talk about all the games. We'll talk about Arsenal. We'll talk about City and a load of teams that have got the double game week coming up in 37. We'll look at how they performed in 36. But let's go to that Newcastle front line to start with. It was a very 50-50 call for FPL managers coming into game week 36. Callum Wilson versus Alex Isak. You and I both went for Isak. Little bit of regret there, or did his performance encourage you ahead of the second fixture they've got in 36 and the games they've got coming up in 37 and 38?
Yeah, it's a difficult one to swallow, particularly because I think the whole debate came down to, I think people assumed that Isak maybe was more likely to get a few more minutes over the double game week, just because we know Callum Wilson can't necessarily play every week. He can't play 2 times a week in particular. And when we've seen rotation for those Newcastle forwards, we've seen it when there's been a double game week with one of the games coming in the midweek. So I think that's why I went with Isak. I think naturally we know that when Callum Wilson is on the pitch versus when Isak on the pitch, I think Callum Wilson may be a slightly better asset, but I just expected Isak to play a few more minutes over the double. Have to say, I'm a little bit concerned about that judgment now going into the midweek game because Callum Wilson again got taken off a little bit early. Isak playing 90 minutes as well. So I don't necessarily think the whole Isak's maybe going to play both, Wilson might not play both narrative that we saw before going into this week is necessarily going to take place, which then means if that happens, then Isak's going to be on the wing again. And although he did drift central in that game, he's not nearly as threatening as when he is central and when he's the main number 9 in the team. He had moments. Again, he won the penalty being nowhere near the left wing. So he does drift around him and Willock sort of alternating positions quite well. But yeah, looking back on it now, looking at what I saw after that Leeds game, I just have a little bit of regret about which I went for. Again, we saw them play both Isak and Wilson against Arsenal, and I didn't think it worked very well against Arsenal. Now, I don't necessarily think it worked that well against Leeds either. They scored 2 goals, both of which were from penalties. And I think actually playing one of them might end up being the stronger lineup for them. But given that they've just scored twice, although both from penalties, it might end up that Isaac doesn't go back to the nine again, which would mean that Wilson does probably end up being the better captain and the better pick over this double game week.
Yeah, well, as a non-Wilson owner, I have to say those penalties definitely stung, didn't they? Particularly that second one. I just there's something about Callum Wilson. When I have him in my FPL team, he doesn't seem to bring home the points. But when I don't have him, he gets like jammy penalties like he did at that second one at Leeds. But credit to Leeds, by the way. I thought Sam Allardyce really got them firing. He got them fired up and energised. And they really flew into Newcastle in the first 20 to 25 minutes in particular. I thought Newcastle struggled to kind of match their energy and their aggression to some extent. But once Newcastle settled into the game, then it was a far more even game. So again, the clean sheet going for Newcastle, I was doubled up. I had Botman and I had Trippier. That's now, I think, one clean sheet in their last 15 for Newcastle. I kind of look back at that and reflect and think, well, okay, well, Sven Botman in my team, you know, cheap enough that I can live with that. But Trippier, certainly not cheap enough that I can live with that. And he hasn't really been supplementing those two or three pointers with any assists or any goals, as we saw pre-World Cup early on in the season. I kind of feel like I'm probably been a bit stubborn with him and kept him in my team for longer than perhaps he should have done. I don't know why that is. I think he's pretty highly owned in FPL. So therefore, maybe I've got a bit of fear that if I take him out, he then does pop up with a clean sheet and a goal maybe, and I miss out on a double-digit haul. But how do you feel about the Newcastle defence going forward? Another game against Leeds where they can see two goals. And credit to Leeds for doing that, for scoring those two goals. But going into the final couple of game weeks of the season, it's Leicester at home for Newcastle, then Chelsea away. I don't think I can sell either of my Newcastle defenders ahead of Leicester at home, given how bad Leicester are playing. So I don't know. What do you make of the Newcastle defence? And what did you think in particular of their performance against Leeds?
Yeah, it feels like they're one of the big disappointments from an FPL point of view in the sort of second half of the season. When we came back after the World Cup, I think they kept six or so clean sheets on the bounce. And we all thought, right, they're cheap. You can get Botman, you can get Shea, you can get Dan Burn, plus your Trippier, and you can hold them through. They'll be a nice investment and they'll keep a number of clean sheets. And then when they got this double game week announced, that was in a week that no one really else, apart from, of course, Brighton, had the double game week, it made sense to hold on to them because it could add a double game week player into your lineup that no one else could have because none of the other teams had it. It's more Botman that I feel a little bit of annoyance that I've held on to this time, because I held on to him purely because of those clean sheets, because I expected that Newcastle defence to defend well. And although I think they've still defended well, they're still underlying expected goals conceded are still some of the best in the league. They just leak goals that they didn't do earlier on in the season. Now, there was a point in the season where Bruno Guimarães was out and we thought, well, maybe that's the leading factor to them conceding goals. And he came back. And I think that first game he came back, they kept a clean sheet, and it's about their only clean sheet they have kept. And then they started to concede more goals again. So I've got Trippier and Botman in my team, and I've got a bit of a decision this week looking at my lineup about whether I play even Trippier this week. And although Leicester, I did think, looked pretty poor on Monday night, they looked like a team not really ready for a relegation scrap, which is a little bit concerning if you are a Leicester fan. Yeah. But I look around my team and I feel like I've got enough other good options in my team that it might end up that this might be the first week that I decide that I've had enough of both Kieran Trippier and Botman and they both end up on my bench. And to be honest, if I get to that point, then I'm questioning why I even keep them, because then they go away to Chelsea on the final day. And although we can say what we want about Chelsea and I can say how much I've hated watching us so much of this season, I just think it's probably not a game that I'm going to want to start a defender in. Just there's going to be enough upside on the final day. There's going to be enough good punts that I could take on the final day. And playing Trippier away to Chelsea is probably not where I'm going to want to do it. So he may have played, or this Thursday against Brighton, he may have played his last game for me this season.
So yeah, Newcastle very much still in the mix, aren't they, Harry? 1 point ahead of Liverpool with a game in hand, which of course is that Brighton game on Thursday. Now, as a Liverpool fan, I'm kind of hoping that in that game and at Stamford Bridge on the final day of the season, they can slip up and maybe let Liverpool in the back door. And Liverpool absolutely keeping the pressure on. What's that, 6 or 7 wins now on the bounce for Klopp's boys? Certainly with Trent in that inverted fullback come central midfielder role, really changing the way that Liverpool have approached games this season for the better, and scored a beautiful free kick, didn't he, last night? What are we saying about Liverpool's performance against Leicester? I'm as interested in what you think about Leicester. You touched on it there. You know, don't look up for the relegation fight. Looked a little bit, certainly after that second Curtis Jones goal went in last night for Liverpool. Certainly looked as if they were a beaten team, and Liverpool could have gone on to score more than three in that game. Talk to me about Leicester as a team to target, because their final couple of games are Newcastle, as you mentioned, and then West Ham at home on game week 38. But also give me a view on Liverpool, because I've got the three. I've got Robbo and Trent and Salah captain, as I had last night. So very happy with that return. What do you think? Aston Villa at home and then Southampton away coming up. Did you see enough from Liverpool last night to want to invest more in the Reds?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the performance. I did think it was great. And, you know, owning Trent and Salah again, I enjoyed the performance even more, getting those points as well. My only concern with investing more than I have, and I think a lot of people have the same opinion, is it's quite difficult to pick that third one. This week, it was a clean sheet. Yeah. And Curtis Jones. Last week, it was going to be a different one of the attackers. It was going to be very difficult to predict outside of Trent and Salah, who do feel like the consistent ones that I still will be buying, even though they don't have a double game week still to play. Still think they look great, even for their two single game weeks. It just makes it quite difficult to predict who it's going to be. Now, if you need a goalkeeper, for example, you need an extra defender, then I think that's okay, because they may keep a clean sheet in one of the last two. Maybe not against Aston Villa, who do look still quite good. Again, we can talk about their match against Spurs at the weekend. But I particularly, when I look in the front line, maybe Gakpo, Nunes, who did miss out with a slight toe injury. Then we've got Diaz as well. Plus, maybe Firmino's going to be back in the squad. And is he going to get minutes before he, you know, leaves Liverpool at the end of the season? Maybe Klopp focuses on top four more than the little bit of nostalgia that might come with some Bobby Firmino minutes. But it does just, I think there's enough doubt in my mind about who's going to play every week. You know, Jota owners, again, he came off the bench. He didn't start when he's been looking so good when he has started. I just don't want that stress in the last 2 weeks of the season. So as much as I think Liverpool will win the last two, and I think they'll score goals as well, I think I'll probably end up keeping just the two.
Yeah, that game against Villa for Liverpool is interesting, isn't it? Because I thought Villa played particularly well against Spurs at the weekend. They kept a very high line. They caught Son offside and Porro offside a number of times. So that'll be a good test for that Liverpool back line to see whether they can break that that offside trap and get in behind. You'd back Salah to do so. Gakpo, as you mentioned before, I thought had a pretty good game last night against Leicester. Had a chance in the first half, didn't he? Just after Curtis Jones had scored his second goal, Salah put him through. Probably should have scored, right? And led the line really well in the absence of Nunes and with Firmino not fit. By the way, I agree with you on the Firmino nostalgia. I'd be astounded if Bobby Firmino doesn't get some minutes at Anfield in his final, what will be his final game at Anfield against Aston Villa. So if you are bringing in a Gakpo, or if we get some news that Nunes is fit and you fancy him as a punt, then just be aware that I think Bobby Firmino will get some minutes in that game towards the end of it, assuming Liverpool are doing all right. But yeah, the Liverpool assets coming good for me last night, and I don't have any thoughts to sell any of them. You know, coming up against Aston Villa in 37, I think it'll be a decent game. Am I going to bench one of my defenders? Probably, when I look at some of the other double game weekers that I've got, but I certainly won't be benching Mo ahead of that Villa at home game, particularly with his form at home. Just a quick word on Leicester then. So yeah, look like a beaten side. I think you're right. You know, the likes of Vardy and Maddison, there will be a few, I guess, FPL managers with Maddison and Barnes and maybe even a Timothy Castagna in their teams. But yeah, listen, we're not thinking about bringing any of their assets in for Newcastle away and then West Ham at home as their final two games of the season. Would you therefore look to invest more in Newcastle, or would you look to invest in West Ham ahead of 38? Because Leicester, yeah, not a good performance at the King Power last night.
Yeah, I agree. And it's when I look at teams that I think might escape relegation, I look at Leeds, I look at Everton, and I look at Nottingham Forest, and I see when they play, I see a group of players playing together, and I see a fan base who are very much behind them, and I see a lot of fight and determination from those three sides. And I really didn't see that from Leicester. And I thought the closer we got to the end, and I think a lot of us thought that eventually the quality of player they had would get them out of it. And actually, I think the quality of player that they have means that they are not ready for a relegation scrap. It means that they can perform well when there's not pressure over the course of a season. But when they go into the final couple of games and they need to pick up a point away at Newcastle, for example, and then at home to West Ham, and at home to West Ham, if they don't get anything against Newcastle, even a win against West Ham on the final day might not prove enough. So
yeah, true.
I'm not necessarily looking at investing in either Newcastle or West Ham in particular. It may be that if Leicester are officially, you know, if they do lose to Newcastle and Everton and Leeds get results next weekend, that it may be a nice punt on West Ham before, you know, they get ready for maybe their European qualification final if they win later on this week. But it does mean I'm inclined to play some of my Newcastle assets this week, particularly the attackers, looking at how that Leicester side are conceding goals. Yeah. So if you've got an Isaac, if you've got a Wilson, for example, and you're thinking, oh, they only have a single game week, could I go to the likes of Kai Havertz, for example, with a different difficult double? Could I go to Anthony Martial, for example, with his double? To me, I just play your Newcastle forwards because that Leicester defence does not look capable of keeping them out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's talk about the top of the league then. We've spoken a little bit there about the relegation battle. Let's go back to the top of the league. Let's go to the Emirates and talk about what we saw, Arsenal versus Brighton. You know, I wasn't expecting Arsenal to lose that game 3-0. I mean, on any given day, Brighton can put in a performance. And I have to say, on the back of that 5-1 defeat to Everton, unbelievably good mentality, right? That's proper elite mentality for De Zerbi to get that team ready mentally to go to the Emirates and put in that sort of performance. I thought they were sensational. And I thought De Zerbi tactically got it right. He put Karu Mitoma on the right for a little while, didn't he? And when Ben White started to tire, switched him to the left and he ran him ragged, didn't he? Really, really good. Billy Gilmore had a great game in that engine room in the middle too, which allowed McAllister, at least in the early stages of the game, to get forward in that number 10 position where we like him to be from an FPL perspective. Now, when the game changed a little bit and De Zerbi was protecting what he had, McAllister came back a little bit, which I didn't like to see, obviously, from an FPL perspective. But I look at that and I go, here's a manager that knows how to use his assets. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. The one thing, the one negative from my perspective was that I transferred out, and here's something that I didn't want to come on and say this morning, I transferred out Purvis Estupinan this week. I wanted Trent in my team, and the only way to do it was to take Estupinan out. And I got in Sisco because I fancied a punt on him rather than Wilson coming into the double game week. Now, in Sisco did get the goal, so I was happy with that. That was an uber differential for me. But any upside that I had in FPL by bringing in Sisco in was immediately wiped out by the Purvis Estupinan 17-pointer. Absolutely crazy, right? Brighton only two clean sheets away all season. Then they keep their third one at the Emirates. That's his first Premier League goal as well, Estupinan. So listen, there's no way that anybody could have predicted that 17-pointer. But did you have him in your team, Harry? Did you have Estupinan?
I did. And actually, if it wasn't Marcus Rashford, I'm not sure I would have played him. And I think a few
Right. So you had Estupinan and Edison on the bench and they've both subbed in for Kepa and Rashford. Come on.
No. I benched Rashford before the deadline for Estupinan.
Oh, okay.
I was certain. I didn't think that Rashford was going to play. However, I was thinking after the Everton game, I then looked at a double game week of Arsenal away, Newcastle away, and looked at Trent in particular away at Leicester and thought Trent is probably a better asset this week, even with a single than Estupinan with his double. I then also had Luke Shaw, who had Wolves at home, and there were definitely points throughout the week that Estupinan was even behind Luke Shaw this week. However, it got to closer and closer to the deadline and I got sucked in by the double game week, as we always do. The amount of double game week players that I've bought, like Botman, for example, that have not turned out the points, but luckily he did get into my starting 11. But yeah, we definitely couldn't have predicted that, especially after that Everton result. Brighton really feeling like the Robin Hood of the Premier League at the moment, taking from the rich and giving to the poor. The only two defeats they've had recently are to Nottingham Forest and to Everton, two teams needing points more than anyone else at the moment. But Mitoma and McAllister are the two I've got in midfield. So I had March last week as well, and I sold him for McAllister. Those two, they still look great every time I watch them.
Yeah, sure.
Mitoma could have had a goal as well. And it just, the points don't seem to be going and the points don't seem to be coming at all for them. But again, a double in game week 37 and then Aston Villa away in game week 38, I'm probably just going to end up keeping them. But I am getting more and more disappointed with the returns that those two are bringing. But just because of how many people have them, it doesn't really impact me that much.
Yeah, I agree with you. Every time I look at Mitoma, and I've been saying it for a few weeks now, this guy passes the eye test massively for me. And he's so important to the balance of that Brighton side and the way that De Zerbi sets them up and the way that he can use him on either wing as well, like he did against Arsenal. Yeah, probably a bit unlucky not to have any points. He's so direct. He's just so direct. And from an FPL perspective, that is what we love to see. And from a McAllister perspective, yeah, I mean, listen, he's still cheap enough in FPL that, you know, I'm definitely not going to sell him ahead of a game week that includes Southampton at home in 37. I appreciate they've got City at home as well. But we've just seen that they can be elite on their day. They can go to the Emirates and get a 3-0 win. That to me suggests you don't want to sell any of your Brighton assets ahead of that double game week, and certainly not Matoma and McAllister. Talk to me about Enciso, though, Julio Enciso. So I bought him in this week as a real differential. I fancied having a bit of fun towards the end of the season and bringing in a differential like that. Serves me right for trying to have a bit of fun because my sacrifice was Purvis Estupinan. Talk to me about his performance, because went off with what looked like a little bit of a knock potentially. So we've got to look out for any De Zerbi injury news or any Brighton injury news in maybe the De Zerbi press conference in the lead up to the Newcastle game. But tell me about his performance, because he was, you know, there when it mattered, you know, a real poacher's goal. We've seen him banging in thunderbolts from the edge of the box so far this season, one at Stamford Bridge, if I remember rightly. But a tap-in, you know, this is what we like to see from an FPL perspective, being in and around the six-yard box and in and around those areas where we want our strikers. So do you think he's going to get more game time over the next couple of weeks, given that Solly March is still going to be out with this hamstring injury?
I do, yeah, and I quite like him. I suppose as a forward in FPL, playing not up front all the time isn't necessarily what you want, but that Brighton attack is so fluid anyway that I don't think it really matters. They do have Buonanotto who can come in and play some minutes, so when they do have a double, for example, it would concern me a little bit with the amount of minutes they've got to play, plus how well some of their strikers are playing as well, in Danny Welbeck and Undav as well. Never did I think that Brighton strikers, how we've owned them over the past season with the likes of Neil Maupay as well, would suddenly be scoring quite so many goals. I do like him though, and if I was picking my three Brighton assets now, I probably would have him in it, and I would drop one of McAllister or Matoma just because of where their points are going and try and chase a little bit more, because I think he's a little bit more exciting. He's got that little bit more of explosive potential than maybe McAllister and Matoma are at the moment. So if you are chasing your mini league rank, you're chasing your overall rank a little bit, then I think he's a really nice punt to go on. However, is it worth jumping off a triple Brighton if you've already got it to make the switch with only 2 weeks left? Maybe not. But if you are still looking to invest new, I do really like him as an option.
Yeah, what about Jason Steele between the sticks as well?
Yeah, again, there was a little bit of doubt after the Everton game whether Sanchez would come back in. And I think he's again staked his claim as that number one option for Brighton. And there was no Steele in the squad even for the game at the weekend. So he continues to perform at a really good price as well. And if you, again, are looking to invest new or you've got Jason Steele, I think he's a really good option. I had the decision a few weeks ago whether I go Edison and Estupinan or whether I go Jason Steele and the likes of John Stones for my Manchester City and Brighton duo. And it started very badly when Jason Steele saved his penalty, but they've brought it back quite nicely. It does feel like Estupinan might be the slightly better one because of the attacking threat. But as you said, it's his first goal in the Premier League, so we can't be predicting that every week. Steele does make saves. He only made two this game, but he's often in the saves. He's often in the bonus points as well. So it does feel like our Brighton assets, particularly because they have a Southampton at home fixture in game week 37, are just a nice hold between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, and what about their opponents, Arsenal, at the weekend then? So really not a great performance from them. I genuinely can't put my finger on why it is over the last few weeks. I mean, they're going to look back to the game against Southampton, I think Liverpool, West Ham. There was a few draws in there, wasn't there? Some results that perhaps they were expected to probably win. I don't know, what is it? Is it just City putting the pressure on, or Arsenal, have they just sort of tactically had a change? I think it probably is the relentless pressure of that run in, and City just winning absolutely every week at a canter. You know, they know how to perform at this stage of the season. I just think Arsenal have just not been able to cope with that. But given that the Arsenal fixtures for the remainder of this season are Forest away and then Wolves at home, again, going to be difficult to sell your Martinellis, your Sakas, your Gabriel Jesus if you have them. What do you make of them, Harry? Are you going to keep them because, you know, the fixtures are good and maybe the, I know the league's not done, but let's just say the pressure of, you know, the title race might be off now and they might play with a bit of freedom, and we go back to the Arsenal that we saw earlier on in the season that don't play with that pressure on their shoulders? Or, you know, it is the result of the weekend, you know, that's the end of their title run, maybe their heads are down a little bit and we sell them ahead of 37 and 38. What do you make of their performance against Brighton first and foremost?
Yeah, it wasn't good. And I do think there's a few things that have impacted this. Again, they've had a couple of games. We've had a midweek game week, and with them playing no Europe and their squad being quite small, a midweek game week and suddenly playing three times in 8 days or whatever it becomes does make it a little bit more difficult for those teams that aren't used to it. Plus, we know they've got injuries in the likes of Saliba, who I think is a massive, massive miss. And I think Zinchenko being out as well in that one didn't help the situation as well. The last two are interesting. Nottingham Forest away and then Wolves at home. I'm really interested in investing, particularly for the final game of the season. I quite like the idea of Trossard, depending on how long Martinelli's going to be out for. A nice cheap one and a big differential as well. But I do look at that Nottingham Forest away fixture and think that might be a little bit more difficult than maybe we think, particularly because we saw it at the end of last season where when Arsenal missed out on the Champions League in that fixture against Newcastle, there was a lot of sort of sad faces on the pitch and we saw it at full time against Brighton. And I worry exactly how they're going to be able to get up for an away game against Nottingham Forest. I think on the final day against Wolves, we'll see a good performance. But Nottingham Forest need to be looking at that fixture and thinking, if we can get a point out of that game at home to Arsenal, we could be pushing ourselves even further towards safety than they are. So I'm not looking at investing away at Nottingham Forest because I think that will be a very, very difficult game the way that Nottingham Forest are performing at the moment. Now, Nottingham Forest scoring goals are conceding goals as well. So if you have the likes of Odegaard, you have the likes of Saka and Gabriel Jesus, then I wouldn't worry about starting them. But defensively, they haven't looked certain for quite a while, particularly with Saliba out. So if you have the likes of Gabriel or Ben White in your team this week, there's enough other good fixtures that I'm not sure there'll be ones that I'll be looking at anymore this season. Maybe the attacks, I still think they're free-flowing and it will depend on whether Martinelli's going to be back or not because I quite like the idea of Trossard.
Yeah, that's a good point you mentioned with Martinelli because, you know, with that fixture coming up in 37 away at Forest and potentially if the injury is, you know, worse than they fear, then yeah, there will be a lot of FPL managers and he is very highly owned, Martinelli. So there'll be a lot of FPL managers that are looking to move him on and maybe that's a nice position. Maybe that's a nice spot in your team to have a bit of a punt, I guess, for the last couple of game weeks. We saw Ilkay Gundogan play really well for Man City. We've talked about Gakpo already in that Liverpool side. We've mentioned Mitoma and McAllister if you don't have them. Let's do a quick segue then to Manchester City and to Ilkay Gundogan because, you know, it's going to be very difficult to predict Pep and his lineup. We seem to talk about this every week around the Champions League and who's going to play and what have you. But I seem to, I don't know, anecdotally in my head, I seem to feel like Gundogan finishes seasons really well. Have I just made this up? I feel like last season or maybe the season before, Gundogan goes on this little run where he just, I don't know, the leadership in him comes out and he just pulls games up by the scruff of the neck and wins them on his own. And we saw a couple of seasons ago how even in that central midfield slot, he can play either defensive central midfield or he can be that bursting into the box midfielder. And he absolutely was the latter at the weekend. Martinelli to Gundogan as a bit of a punt, Harry, going into the last couple of weeks? Or am I barking up the wrong tree there?
No, I don't think you are. He does tend to finish season strongly. And we saw it, I think, last season when he scored twice on the final day to help Manchester City win the title against Aston Villa. I think that's what you're throwing back to. Yeah, I do quite like it. The only thing is, if Manchester City do win the title, which if they beat Chelsea at the weekend, we know they're going to win it. I'm not going to sit here and try and predict Pep, but it does look that Brighton fixture could mean if they get through to the Champions League final, if they get through to the FA Cup final, where they're already in the FA Cup final, if they're in two finals after game week 38, we could see Pep try and just conserve a few of his players, maybe rest them midweek and then play them to get the rhythm back in game week 38. Again, I'm completely trying to predict Pep, but we saw that Brighton were a very physical team against Arsenal. They got about the challenges that we saw early on. There were a lot of them by both teams. And I think Pep might not necessarily want to be throwing Kevin De Bruyne in against a Brighton team who might be a little bit physical and risk some of those. However, a little bit of another talking point is I have maybe a Marcus Rashford shaped hole in my team. And I am looking at Ilkay Gundogan over the last few. Now, maybe he doesn't start both in the double, but if that means he starts game week 38, then I don't mind that too much away at Brentford in that one. It's very difficult with the wingers that they've got at the moment. Jack Grealish has been on the bench in the past couple around the Champions League. Mahrez is continuing to tick along with the points. Foden is in there as well. It does feel like those three are going to rotate quite heavily between those two spots on the wing. So I do quite like Gundogan. And those positions, as you say, he gets into in the box just because he's playing in midfield and you don't necessarily think, oh, he's not a winger. He's not going to score as many points. His runs into the box, I think he can continue to do well. Maybe not two goals and assist every week, but he looks like a real player. And he's out of contract, I think, at the end of the season. I think Manchester City would do well to keep hold of him as well.
And I noticed that Haaland actually as well, the lowest captaincy we've seen from him for weeks in game week 36, simply because of the double game week. I think a lot of FPL managers were looking at Isak and Wilson and others. So Haaland not well captained this week, but still pops up with his goal. And there's something about his relationship with Pep, I think, and some of the comments that Pep's made in his press conferences and on social media, etc. I don't think that he rests him, right? I know they've got some big games coming up, and you've talked about, you know, Grealish and Foden and Mahrez and others getting rotated and rested around some of the finals that have got coming up, semi-final against Real Madrid potentially. I just think that Haaland will want to play. He's got, obviously, you know, Premier League records to set here, you know, record amount of goals in a season. I feel bad for Harry Kane, actually, because if it wasn't for Haaland, we'd all be talking about how good Harry Kane has been so far this season, how many goals he's got in it. I think he's got the record for the most amount of goals in a 38-game season. But no one's talking about it because Haaland is doing so amazingly well in his first season. And I just think Haaland will want to play. He'll be putting Pep under pressure to play him in those games. So, listen, I don't think any of us are selling Haaland ahead of 37. Far from it. But to supplement him with a Grealish or a Gundogan or a Foden is a difficult one. There's no doubt about it because they will rotate. I've got Grealish in my team right now. But the one place where I feel a little bit, I don't know about exposed is the right word, because Chelsea and Brighton coming up in 37, both of those teams can score against Manchester City. But I looked at Edison keeping a clean sheet and some bonus points for the first time in a long time. And I don't have any City defensive cover. And I'm wondering whether I might start to look at a Stones or a Diaz or somebody like that. You're invested in Edison. I assume you're happy to stick with him. Is there anybody else from that City defence that would catch your eye? And if they did, who would you go for?
I agree. And that, on Haaland, it's interesting because he said right at the beginning of the season, Pep said, if they play three times a week, Haaland won't play all three games.
It's true, yes.
And now absolutely. We see he's actually not missed a Premier League game outside of injury. So we can see how much we can maybe believe some of the press conferences we get early on in the season in particular. But defensively, again, I have Edison and I'm going to keep onto him and I'll end up playing him this week. I am building myself into this sort of hole that I feel like there's going to be enough rotation for Manchester City in some of these games between now and the end of the season that I don't particularly want to be investing in their defence. Ruben Diaz feels like the most nailed, and if I was buying any Manchester City defender now, I would be buying him and probably him only. Laporte and Ake feel like they're rotating on that other hand side. We've got Akanji, we've got Walker, we've got Rico Lewis, all of them wanting minutes between now and the end of the season. We've also seen in previous seasons the likes of Scott Carson getting minutes. So I had Edison a few seasons ago where he got minutes, or Tigo got minutes a few game weeks ago as well. So I'm not even certain that if they do win the Premier League against Chelsea, that Edison is that safe. They are also leaking goals. It's a double game week against Chelsea at home where, yes, maybe you'd expect them to keep a clean sheet there. But then away at Brighton, I don't necessarily think that the Manchester City defence, if you don't have it, I probably wouldn't go investing new at this point. And then Brentford away on the final day. Now, they might be without Ivan Toney, who looks like he's picked up an injury. But even without him, they still score goals. So I think there's probably better places to be investing at the moment than the Manchester City defence, just because of the goals they're leaking and the maybe rotation that we might see between now and the end of the season.
And a quick word on their opponents, Everton. Then I think Sean Dyche would have been looking at the fixture list when he came into the club going, well, game week 36, it's Man City. Maybe we'll just accept an L in that one. But the fixtures around it, obviously, they've hit a bit of form. They played very, very well against Brighton. And Dwight McNeil in particular was high on FPL radars. Wolves and Bournemouth to finish off the season. It's looking good for them now. I'd fancy Everton to stay up from the position that they're in. But they'll want to finish strongly and Sean Dyche will make sure of that. I expect them to bounce back from this City defeat. And I think going away to Wolves, which is a difficult place to go because Lopetegui's got them playing very well at Molineux. But then Bournemouth at home on the final game of the season. Anybody from Everton? I mean, Dwight McNeil, I guess I'm kind of a bit of weak behind there in my thinking with him because he played so well against Brighton, didn't he? Fancy a punt on any Everton players just very quickly before we move on to Manchester United and other teams?
Yeah, I probably am going to end up not taking a punt on Everton. They do have the best last couple of games out of any of the teams sort of fighting for relegation, away to Wolves and at home to Bournemouth. So there definitely are punts. And if they need a result at home to Bournemouth on the final day, people might be looking at the likes of Calvert-Lewin, the likes of Tarkowski, the likes of McNeil as well. I don't think they're awful picks at all, but I just think, again, they share the points out a little bit. It's not necessarily the same people that are scoring goals, are getting assists every game. Sometimes it's Iwobi, sometimes it's McNeil as well. If you are looking for a punt who is a big differential, it's probably up there with one of the teams that I would look at given their last two fixtures and given they still do have something to play for. However, probably not ones that I'm going to go for.
Yeah, okay. I think I agree with you. One of the other teams that have got a double game week in 37 that we haven't discussed were Manchester United. So I was talking about how well Lopetegui's got Wolves playing, but Man United did a job on them at the weekend. No Rashford, no problem for Manchester United. Talk to me about differentials from a Man United perspective. Could you, as an FPL manager, move sideways to Antony, because Antony's in the same sort of price bracket as Rashford, if we hear that Rashford is not going to be fit for double game week 37? Or if you could find a little bit more money, then I fancy Bruno Fernandes as well. Played really well in this game, didn't he? Only 9% of FPL managers have got Bruno Fernandes. So again, if you're looking to chase in your mini leagues, he could be a really good differential, I think. So with a double game week that reads Bournemouth away and Chelsea at home, that looks pretty good to me. I mean, Bournemouth away, and we've seen United be a little bit leakier on the road. They're very resolute and keep the clean sheets at home at Old Trafford. But Bournemouth away looks tricky on paper. But listen, Bournemouth are safe now. I've got a feeling they'll have their feet up, and United will go to the Vitality, knowing that they need that win because obviously Newcastle were there in fourth, Liverpool keeping the pressure on in fifth, and then two home games to finish the season with Chelsea and Fulham. I fancy Bruno Fernandes as a bit of a differential, Harry. What do you think? If Rashford's out for this double, is it worth breaking up our teams elsewhere and finding the money to go from Rashford to Fernandes? Or do you think a sideways-ish move in the same price bracket to Antony is the kind of, I'd say, safer move, but you wouldn't have to break your team up quite so much? You fancy either of those two?
Yeah, so I've got Fernandes in my team, and I've had him for quite a while now as well. Okay. And he has been so good in terms of performances, but not nearly as good in terms of his FPL returns. And I'm just hoping that the haul and the amount of points that he deserves for his performances comes in before game week 38, and I get it this season rather than it coming at the beginning of next season, because he has been so, so good. And Manchester United wouldn't still be where they are, I don't think, both without Marcus Rashford, but also without the performance he's putting in, whether he's asked to play deeper, whether he's asked to play centrally in attack, whether he's asked to play out on the wing as well. Wherever he plays, he puts in an incredible performance. So I really like him. He is assisting the assister a little bit, is the only thing. He is making a few passes, as he did for the first goal in this one, where Martial scored from an Antony pass. But I do really like him. Antony's an interesting one, and it does feel like he's favoured out on that right-hand side. We've seen Ten Hag sort of go with him before. He was one of the reasons that Antony was signed. So I do feel like he will play a decent amount of minutes before now and the end of the season. And he is probably a bigger differential than Fernandes. And I do quite like him. If it is real surgery to go and get Fernandes into your team, who I do probably prefer as an asset, I don't think Antony is a bad pick at all. Now, the only other one that I want to throw in is, if Rashford does appear to be out for both game week 37 and game week 38 as well, is who's going to fill in that spot on that left-hand side? And is Garnacho going to get a decent amount of minutes? Because when he plays, he does seem to get FPL returns. We can just never be sure about the amount of minutes he's going to get. But he is a fraction of the price of both of those, under 5 million, I think. So he could be a really big differential and a very cheap one that a lot of people could easily get to if Rashford is out for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, you're right. He does seem to get the points, doesn't he? He's got a bit of the Karu Mitomas about him, isn't he? Very direct. And I've noticed whenever I watch him play, he's quite selfish, which I'd imagine at times, you know, drives his teammates and Erik ten Hag crazy. But as an FPL manager, or if you've got him in FPL, that's what we want. We want selfish. We want shots on target. We want shots in the box. So I don't mind that at all. And like you say, uber differential. So again, if you're chasing in your mini leagues, he's definitely one to have a look at. Can't let you go, Harry, without talking about your team, Chelsea. Obviously got the double game week coming up in 37. Three very difficult games to finish the season out on, by the way. City, United, and then Newcastle. Fancy your boys to get any points from those? And what did you make specifically about the 2-2 against Forest? Forest showing again and again that they can be dogged in any given game. They're fighting for their lives at the bottom of the league. So not surprised, I guess, to see them get a point at Stamford Bridge in a game that on paper you'd say, well, that's going to be a home win. Raheem Sterling with the two goals. I guess I could be tempted maybe, but listen, those midfield slots in our FPL teams are going to be pretty precious. And I think I'd rather fill one with a Garnacho or a Sancho or an Antony or a Fernandes, as we've mentioned before, as well as the Brighton boys that have got that double game week, or indeed the Gundogans or Fodens or Grealishes that we mentioned before. So I don't think I'm going to find a space for Sterling or indeed any Chelsea assets with two very difficult looking fixtures in game week 37. But your take as a Chelsea fan Any interest?
I'm going to try and put on a brave face and try and claim that there might be some Chelsea assets that we might want to go and invest in for a double game week, although it is probably the most difficult double game week you could ask for. Away at Manchester City and away at Manchester United, who are particularly good at home, it's basically a single game week. And given the way that we are performing at the moment, I don't think waste any listeners' times by trying to tell them that I think
little
there are any of our assets.
A little bit better against Forest, though, Harry? A little bit better against Forest, wasn't it?
I mean, a little bit, but...
I'm clutching at straws, maybe.
Clutching at straws. The one that I would buy probably would be Sterling, but because he's about 9.5 million, 9.7, I think
he is. Bit prohibitive, isn't it?
It's just a lot, yeah. And you're paying the same price for the likes of Bruno Fernandes. So if you have the money spare, just going to the likes of Bruno Fernandes just makes a lot more sense. Plus, with the likes of Fernandes, you're buying a nice fixture in game week 38 as well at home to Fulham, whereas Chelsea do have Newcastle that game, where Newcastle may still need a result to make sure they get in Champions League as well. So, and then in goal, the one position where maybe we are invested, Kepa lost his place this game. Now, maybe it was because Mendy is slightly better in the air and Nottingham Forest are known for their sort of aerial ability, their being a big side. We might see Kepa come back in, but I don't think you want to even try and predict that one.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, nothing from Chelsea can tempt me, I'm afraid to say. Again, if you're really chasing in your mini leagues and you want differentials that no one else is going to go for, doesn't sound like you or I are going to go for them. But listen, if you need the points, then go and get a Raheem Sterling. So there we go. That's the pod. Give us some early thoughts on game week 37 then, Harry. Thoughts on captaincy, thoughts on transfers. And given that you are still, if I'm not mistaken, in the upper echelons of the FPL game, what is your current overall rank and what are you thinking ahead of the game week?
I've dropped a little bit, but up to about 211th at the moment, hoping that wow. Callum Wilson, yeah, 211th is quite a crazy end to the season, hoping that Callum Wilson doesn't
really
punish
good.
Me too much on Thursday night, because he caused quite a drop earlier on Saturday.
No more penalties, please, Callum.
Yeah, please, no more penalties. If Brighton could stay on their feet, that would be greatly appreciated.
That'd be great.
My transfers this week, I'm looking at Marcus Rashford. And if Marcus Rashford's going to be out, I quite like the idea of Gundogan. I also quite like the idea of potentially going on Antony as well as a little bit of a punt between now and the end of the season. If Marcus Rashford's going to be back, I'll probably end up rolling my transfer this week. My three single game week players in my lineup are Trent Alexander-Arnold, Mo Salah, and then Alexander Isak or Kieran Trippier, depending on which Newcastle asset I want to play. Currently, it's Isak. I don't feel like I want to add a Manchester City defender or a Chelsea asset to bench one of those three. So if Rashford's out, then I'll probably go to Gundogan is probably my number one pick, because I don't have a triple up on Manchester City at the moment. If not, I'll probably roll my transfer and have two nice ones to take some punts in the last week of the season.
Yeah, I like it. I think I'm probably in the same camp as you. If Rashford is confirmed out, then a sideways move to United asset or go somewhere in City on City. And I think with a double game week for City as well, with Chelsea and Brighton, if it was just a single game week, I'd go, well, rotation risk, will they play? And I'd have a lot more question marks. But, you know, if you go for a Gundogan, you go for a Foden or a Mahrez or somebody like that, I've already got Grealish in my team. So I would be going for triple City attack if I did get another attacker in. But I'd back whoever I bring in to get some minutes over that double game week. So the question I'm going to have is, do I go for a City asset that could get a bit rotated and just get some minutes, or do I go for a United asset like an Antony, or I really like your Garnacho shout. That is out there, but proper differential. Do I back them to get a bit more minutes and maybe, you know, the FPL points against Bournemouth and Chelsea at home? So yeah, Rashford on the chopping block for me. If he's confirmed fit, then absolutely I'll be keeping him and I'll be doing something else in my FPL team. But in terms of captaincy, I think we've got to stick it on the big Norwegian, haven't we?
Yeah, it's on Erling Haaland and I don't think there's any chance that it's going to move. He's going to win the title at home against my team as well. It's going to be a painful watch, but yeah, it's not going anywhere else, I don't think.
No, I think, and if you've still got the triple captainship for whatever reason, if you've still got that burning a hole in your pocket, then get that on Erling Haaland in game week 37, I'd suggest.
Absolutely. So that is the pod for this week. As we've said, please hold your transfers, because not only do we have that Brighton versus Newcastle game coming later on this week, we also have the big European games, not only for Manchester City against Real Madrid, but of course, West Ham also playing. So whether they play against Leeds and then Leicester in the final day, it might impact who we want to be investing in and whether West Ham have something to play for as well. Just two game weeks to go. The season has absolutely flown by. So last couple of transfers to make that rank, to make those mini league games that you need. Back on Thursday, Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back to have a look with the FPL pod for game week 37. Thank you all for listening and good luck in the remainder of game week 36 when it does come around.
Bye guys, and good luck to you, Harry. 212th in the world. You can win it from here. Go do it.